The River Widow by Anne Howard Creel. Performed by Brittany Presley. Her hands were lined and scarred and looked older than her 31 years. They had read cards and cooked and scrubbed and carried wood. They had turned the pages of books, touched love and been betrayed by it. These hands now dragged her husband's body to the river to let the flood take it away. Now they had touched death, too. December had been as mild as autumn, but in January, winter blew in cold and icy. An ominous haze lay on the horizon. Iron clouds streaked across the sky, speared icicles hung from the barn eaves, and frost on the ground spread like a savage web. The sleet and rain started and wouldn't let up, day after day, and then the flood warnings came. By the time they heard, the Ohio River had overrun its banks and inundated their lowland cornfields. She and Les raced with his daughter to Les's folks' farm on higher ground near Lone Oak, left Daisy there and then came back to free the livestock and salvage what they could from the house, as everything inside was sure to be ruined. While Les aimed for the livestock barn, Ada Branch ran through the driving rain up the creaking, peeling front steps to the house, flung open the screen and the door, and then stood inside looking around her loveless home while holding a big burlap bag in her hands. They should have evacuated days earlier. It was almost too late. Paducah was flooding, and swollen creeks had made many of the icy roads impassable. This would be their last chance to salvage anything before the water rose, perhaps high enough to submerge the house and everything else along the Ohio. Eyes slowly adjusting to the darkness. The electricity was out. She perused the room while her thoughts spun. The fraying rag rug wasn't good enough to save. The old blown glass lamps too fragile. The sagging furniture too big. Their best piece, a polished oak secretary, was too heavy, as was the potbelly stove. What did one take from a house that had seen so little happiness? She grabbed their old Atwater Kent radio and then headed to Daisy's room and gathered her stepdaughter's stuffed bear, Shirley Temple doll, some clothes, and her other pair of shoes into the bag, then hurried into the bedroom she shared with Les. Everything about that room a reminder of moments that sickened her. She stripped the bed and pushed the sheets into the bag, which was almost full. Lastly, from the closet, she took the folded Lone Star quilt, the only thing she had left of her parents. Her mother had stitched it by hand, and every time Ada gazed at it, she longed for a love so deeply it felt like the hunger she could only imagine came from starvation. She dragged the bag to the front door, hoisted it up on her hip, and then plunged back outside into rain pellets, lightning forks that illuminated the fields and fences and trees with quivering bursts of blinding brightness, and wind that rattled the wood frame house as if foretelling the arrival of a blustery demon or the lowest sinner. Blinking and gasping, she slipped across the saturated soil and flung the bag into the back of Les's black Model A truck and grabbed another, now drenched, burlap bag, and fought the slant rain back inside to get Lester's and her clothing.